Looking to bet on the NFL this season? There's no better place to wager than betonline.ag. From spreads to totals to player props, you can bet on anything and everything NFL at betonline.ag this season. BetOnline is the official provider of all betting lines used on the TDN Fantasy Podcast and thedraftnetwork.com. Go to betonline.ag and start wagering on the NFL, college football, and so much more right now.
TDN Fantasy. The TDN Fantasy Podcast with your hosts Paige DeMacos, Jamie Eisner, and Jake Arians.
And I'm going to be wrong plenty, trust me. And I hope I'm called out for it.
And he will be called out for it. Welcome in to the TDN Fantasy Podcast Roast Edition. This is the accountability you guys have all been waiting for. I can't guarantee that our politicians will be held accountable, but we sure will be for our fantasy football takes. And that includes both Jamie and Jake and their preseason takes that they had coming in. So what has happened here? Let me set the scene. Chris Schubert, lovely producer of the show, has spent the last few weeks preparing and diving into all of our preseason takes, right? And he has 21 sounders. Is that correct, Chris?
There are 21 pieces of audio on the soundboard. You heard the first one there in the intro. We got 20 left to get through.
So what we're going to do here is, Chris, I'm going to just let you go. Okay, you're going to introduce the take.
Thank you.
I'm going to react to it by telling you how bad it is as a take. And then these guys can maybe defend it. Whether or not we allow them to defend it is up to you and I, because you and I both have the ability to mute them. So
that
if they get
true,
too,
yes.
If they get too rowdy, we're in charge.
This kind of power is scary. I don't remember agreeing to this part. I have to look at my contract details again on that. I don't remember giving Chris.
I'm muting. Telling you, James. What is this, man? Ooh. Are we even on the show? It's like revenge of the hype train.
All right, Paige can get away with it. I'm not sure I'm ceding this sort of power to Chris.
I kept
him on the show for a reason.
Look, We said it. We got to own it. I mean, there's not a whole lot of explanation going on. It's already been out in the universe. So now we just get reminded.
Chris, I think what we've decided on is, you know, I have a scale here, a running scale of how bad these will be. So we have, you know, the poop emoji, which is the ultimate description of how absolutely shit that take could possibly be, right? So that's at the high level. That's like a five. And then over at the other side is just kind of like the meh face, right? Where you just got he's just kind of like this, shrugging his shoulders, or the emoji that just has no emotion, right? So that's about a one. A five is the shit emoji. So I already know one of them that I'm definitely giving the shit emoji to. So I'm excited for this to happen. So let's break into these takes, Chris.
Okay, perfect. Do you mind if I set the scene a little bit here for you? I have a little bit of an intro prepared and everything. Okay, perfect. So I just want to let Jamie know here. And Jake so eloquently said that, you know, do we even need to be on the show? No, Jamie, you can take the whole day off. Enough of these clips are from you that your presence is going to be felt on today's show of The Roast of Jamie. So if you'd like to leave the Zoom now, Jamie, please go right ahead. Your presence is going to be felt on the show. And listen, Paige, you don't even need to hear it from me. Hear it from Jamie.
I'll come on the show if it's wrong, and I'll be more than happy. We do three shows a week during the season. There'll be plenty of time to give me crap for everything I'm right and wrong about.
Oh, okay, so here we are. We are at the Roast of Jamie. Now, listen, I don't know if any of the takes that we hear on the show today will rival this one.
The Los Angeles Rams are the best team in the NFC. I am leading the hype train on the Los Angeles Rams.
All right, so I don't know if we'll get there, all right, but that one's pretty bad, but we'll see. We'll test the waters here. We will go through this process. Now, I went through a lot of audio. I went through all the different rankings. Paige, I couldn't even get into the rankings before I heard a take. Jamie, go ahead. What do you have to say?
No, I just wish it for our listeners. Jake and I do not know what's coming. This is not prepared. We have no idea. So everything you're going to hear from us is going to be completely off of the cuff. I have no idea. None of these have been played for us in advance. We're all going to be reacting in real time to this. And Chris, I guess take it away. I don't even know if you're going to troll me or Jake first. So take it away.
So Paige, I'm going through this and I'm going through, you know, quarterback rankings. And I couldn't even get to the episode for the first edition of the quarterback rankings before I heard this Jamal Adams take from good old Jamie Eisner.
This might sound like a hot take or a troll. I promise you it's not. I truly believe the most realistic scenario is that Jamal Adams is on the Jets longer than Adam Gase is. And that means I think Jamal Adams is on the 2021 New York Jets. That's basically what I'm trying to say at this point.
Yeah, I'll own up to that one. Put it this way, I did not expect a team to trade two first-round picks for him. No. And as we reacted about, I think that was about a month before he actually got traded, and we reacted to that deal with Seattle. But I will say, mixed into that take of me being wrong, he clearly wasn't even on the 2020 Jets, so he wasn't definitely not going to make it on the 2021 Jets. But you know who else didn't make it on the 2021 Jets?
Adam Gase.
So I got half that. I got half that right. And more importantly, you know who else won't be on the 2021 Jets? Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, and you knew that that was going to happen, Chris. You knew you had to know. You had to know there was going to be some trolling that was happening back to you. But that's okay. We can live with that.
And you know what? I'm so glad Jamie brought up quarterbacks there, because why don't we start with quarterbacks?
And Jamie, this is
a guy who could be playing for the New York Jets in 2021. Let's hear what you had to say about Deshaun Watson.
I don't have him getting to 4,000 yards. I don't have him anywhere, above the mid 20s for touchdowns.
I think he eclipsed both of those numbers, Jamie. Now wait a minute. Now that's what you said about Deshaun Watson. Let's hear what Jake said about Deshaun Watson.
Man, you just did a hell of a sales job for me to put him at 12, because what you just described is not number 5 on this list. Their offensive line is miraculous, going to be okay. No, they suck. David Johnson is going to be a superstar running back, and they're going to run it a whole lot more. He's going to catch it a lot. Fuller was great with Hopkins on the other side, because you could never double him. Stills was an okay third option at that point. Cooks, I don't know that he ever should play again. I think you could blow on him at this point, and he's going to get a headache, as he should, because he went through, what, 4 concussions in the last couple of years? 2 back-to-back last year?
Yeah.
Watson is not a great runner. He moves around at a phenomenal pace like Russell Wilson to throw the ball, but he gets hurt when he does that. He's a small dude. He's not 6'4". He's not Josh Allen. He's not huge, but he's like 6'1", 210. He had an ACL in college. He's going to get broke up if he wants to play like that. 5 is insanely risky to me. I've got him at 12 at the bottom of my QB1s, only because I don't think they're going to be very good, and they're going to have to throw – late to make up some garbage yards, where he might run around and make some stuff happen then. But who is he going to when the chips are on the table? Because everybody knew before where it was going, and it still made it happen. He misses a lot of wide open guys. There's still questions on how well he reads the field, because he went to Nuke a lot and it worked out. You go back to his rookie year when he just lit it up and he's throwing it up to Fuller, and it just all happened. I agree with Dabo. He has some Michael Jordan-esque qualities. He just has some magic, right? That Russell Wilson magic we were talking about. But it's not enough for me to put him any higher than 12. This team's not going to be very good. They're going to be coming from behind. It's the only reason I'm giving him some junk fantasy yards. Where I talked about David Johnson last year when he was good early in the season. Because the Cardinals weren't winning. He was catching touchdowns late. They were in 2-minute drill, and he catches 3 or 4 passes late. I think you're going to get a lot of that. It's the only reason I got him in my QB1 range.
You want to just pay the whole other podcast and, like, you want us to leave? Just going to play our entire podcast episode?
I added the context in there because I knew Jake was going to come at me with, you got to play the whole clip. The reason why we played the whole clip was there was some good analysis there, but he said Deshaun Watson wouldn't end up at 5, and I have Fantasy Pros up in front of me, and that's where he ended up at 5. Now it didn't end here. The Deshaun Watson conversation didn't end here, gentlemen. And, Paige, you're going to have to weigh in on this one. Here is Jake versus Jamie on Deshaun Watson and another quarterback.
Where did you have Carson Wentz, Jamie? 13?
13, yeah.
I got Carson Wentz 5, and I got Deshaun Watson 12. Of those two, which one do you want on your team?
At their ADP or at just in general?
No, period.
No, I'll still take Watson this year. I'll still take my chance on Watson this year in fantasy, yeah.
That's indefensible.
All righty.
I know.
I love it.
You got Watson playing 16 games, Ben playing 14.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, Ben. Oh, no.
Now, Paige, do you want to weigh in on this take? Because I'm curious. Because we heard from Jake there about
– I said it. I don't get to say anything first.
All right, go ahead.
The first take was spot on, other than he was sucked for 6 weeks and was spectacular for 12. So I was wrong on how good he played down the stretch. But he didn't run. He made it happen from the pocket. He started taking what the defense gave him, and he sucked the first 6 weeks. That was spot on. Now – there was a bunch of junkyards in there. The kid has completely changed my opinion of him in the last 12 weeks. Unbelievable. The second part of this, indefensible, dude. I'm going to take more shit from Carson Wentz. I deserve it all. There is shit emojis all over my face for anything I said about Carson Wentz. And this is the first of many, I'm sure, that are coming my way. Give it to me all. It is indefensible. I got nothing to say for the Carson Wentz takes.
So the fascinating part about like the Deshaun Watson stuff that you just played was obviously clearly I did not expect him to have a career best year. I mean, 4,800 yards he throws for with no DeAndre Hopkins, missing Fuller for part of the season, just sets career highs across the board. But I got to go back and look at my projections because I don't know how I got, because I had him as my QB5 despite how quote unquote low I was on him relative to what he actually did. And yet he still finished there. So I have to kind of figure out like where I how that somehow played out. But
how your analytics were off on that one?
Yeah, well, I think it probably had him rushing a little bit more. Like that's probably what it had there. But yeah, I mean, look, he was amazing this year, and I did not expect him to basically take a step forward in pretty much every statistical category after losing his best pass catcher. Like it just seems antithetical to me. But he did. We watched it happen.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote that article on him, how he's not an MVP candidate. And mm-hmm. he damn near got himself into the conversation going, what, 4-12?
Yeah.
He started off exactly what I wrote in the article for like 6 weeks. He was turning it over. It was hero ball. And then all of a sudden, they fire Bill O'Brien. And for some reason, they go spread. They go five wide. He's taking what the defense has given him. He's not taking the shots. He's not taking hero ball. All of a sudden, he can read coverage. Pre-snap and during the snap. It's like – boom, he's a different guy. And I said in the article, I love everything about the kid. His leadership, all the skills that he possesses, he's got to do these things. And my God, did he do it? It was unbelievable. Literally, if you're going to go through the MVPs and you're going to rank the top 10 guys in the entire NFL, he ended up in the freaking conversation on a team that was 4-12 that is the only bright spot on that team. And but Brandon Cooks, I love Brandon Cooks. But my take on that was still there. Like that dude scared me playing this year. I'm damn glad he had a good year and bounced back.
All right, so let's unpack the first part, right, Chris? So I'll talk specifically to you since the guys were able to already, you know, defend where they were, right? The David Johnson stuff was spot on from Jake, right? So that stuff with all that stuff in the fantasy, especially fantasy-wise, because I think there were a lot of people that were dialing into scenarios that us as a collective podcast were like, not really dialing into that, right? Deshaun will take our lumps, right? Jamie had him at 5 still, but had him at 5 in a different way. I think I'm fascinated I'm fascinated with how you got there, right? I gotta figure out how, like, in some capacity, what the numbers look like.
I'm gonna pull up my projections page while you're talking here. I'm gonna pull up my actual Eisner board final projections and see where I had him there. Because that is strange because I was lower on him. Obviously, he threw for almost 5,000 yards and yet still ended up where.
This will be interesting.
I thought he'd be.
This will be interesting because you're going to be about 350 yards rushing off and 800 yards passing off. And that's fantasy, where I say all the time, quarterbacks that run skew the entire thing, that he was that good, that much better than he's ever been. And there's going to be 500 yards difference there. Watch this. And that's going to be the difference.
It's actually not as terrible as I thought. Well, no, the passing yards difference is ridiculous. But so I had him down here for 516 pass attempts, which is not too far off of where he ended up being at 544. About 1,000 yards off in yards, though. 38-18 for passing yards. 25 passing touchdowns compared to his 33. And then I had him down for 527 rushing yards, which is about 100 more than what he had. 6 rushing touchdowns versus 3. I think that was one of the big ones. But so he had, 30 – where was his combined touchdown total this year? 36, and I had him down for 31. I think that's probably the big reason why it wasn't too ridiculous, because I was pretty close on the total touchdown mark. But, yeah, passing yards was really the only thing that was incredibly off about my projections for him. But they were off by a lot.
Yeah.
And I can promise you this. I won't have him at 12 this year, and I don't care which team he's on.
Yeah. Pretty certain that he's going to elevate it for everybody, considering he's probably going to, no matter where he is, have better offensive weapons than he had this year and going to be probably more than likely in a better scenario than he started off this football season. The Carson Wentz stuff is absolutely fantastic.
Well, Paige,
because go ahead.
We kind of glossed over that at the tail end of the Deshaun Watson conversation, but there was a separate conversation about Carson Wentz and
probably
this,
5.
And this was said.
That's a great way to put it, Jamie, because I got him at 5.
Woo!
I bet last year, and I kind of got bit in the ass a little bit. I agree with you wholeheartedly that you better have a Drew Brees, a Matt Ryan, Roethlisberger. Some of these guys you're going to get in that tier late. But look what he did down the stretch, as Paige said, with nobodies. They don't run the ball in Philly. I expect the running back situation to be a little bit better, but Miles Sanders catches it great out of the backfield. This is 100% going through him. He's still going to play with reckless abandon, so you're still going to have that injury risk, and that's the only reason that scares me a little bit. But these numbers, this is the one, like, I'm going to look at the numbers and say, okay, you got him similar to a couple other guys, but he's better. And if he's at that those passing attempts, I just see him having bigger numbers at it. He will run it enough. He's going to turn it over a little bit, but I don't know. I am just huge on the talent, and you now have speed everywhere. So if you like Rager, DeSean Jackson, you added Marquise Goodwin, you still have Ertz. Hopefully you still have Dallas Goedert. Should be fine. Lane Johnson, healthy. It all goes through him, but it's 100% health dependent. So I am going in 100% on the health, and I've got him at 5, which I think he's damn capable of doing. You're just talking about an uber talented guy. I can't put him any lower than that based off his freaking talent.
I knew this was going to be a discrepancy here. I'm excited.
I think
so
he's
happy.
In the MVP race again.
Oh, what was that at the end there, Jake? He's in the MVP race again? Oh, okay. All right.
I knew where this was headed. Chris, we were all like collectively higher on Carson Wentz than a lot of people, mostly because of what we saw at the back end of the 2019 season. I don't think anybody foresaw the absolute debacle that happened this year in Philadelphia. I don't think anybody was thinking that Jalen Hurts was going to start football games in front of a healthy Carson Wentz, right? I think we might have thought that would happen in front of an injured Carson Wentz. But yeah, I think collectively, like, I mean, there were people that were tweeting our podcast in the midway point of the season telling us, like, are you all going to admit to the fact that Carson Wentz sucks? And I was like, yeah, guys, I think we got to address this now, because we kept kind of holding on, we held on. And then it, you know, he really put us in a tough spot this year, Jake, because I was with you. I was all aboard, you know, Carson Wentz, based off of him playing the end of that 2019 season, right? With less weapons. So I got a lot of questions about that organization moving forward, because I don't know what the hell, what version of Carson Wentz are we going to get, right? I think that's what we're
I don't know that you're going to get him there. I mean, the big thing. Look, what I just named is Rager didn't play. Sean Jackson didn't play. Lane Johnson didn't play. Peters didn't play. Miles Sanders was hurt half the year. All those weapons, Zach Ertz was out half the year. But we saw it last year. Like, we saw all those guys gone, and he was spectacular down the stretch. He absolutely sucked. He got his coach fired. He's probably going to be out of town. It's indefensible. Like, I'm still buying in that he's a talented son of a gun. He did the anti-Deshaun Watson we were just talking about. He took the hero ball away to take with the defense. He cannot do that. He is incapable of doing that at this point. And I'll take all the egg on my face. I got to take on that one. I still think he's a talented guy. I think he's going to play good football somewhere else. But, damn, you got the coach fired. You got, like, total upheaval going on in Philly all because of this and because of him.
Yeah, I'm as somebody who enjoys watching Philadelphia lose their minds, listen, I like Carson Wentz. I hope he goes and plays somewhere else and has an opportunity and shows us 2017 MVP Carson Wentz. I'd like to see that guy again. I don't know where he's going to play. I don't know if he's going to be in Philadelphia. I think they fired their coach kind of. For us, it was a little bit unexpected, right? Like, it kind of happened, and everybody was like, okay. So this is going to be one we're going to reevaluate a lot.
Doug got himself fired. I mean, Doug was like, no, I'm not doing that. I just won a Super Bowl for you 2-3 years ago. No, I'm not doing this, making those changes. I mean, look, to his credit, it is hard to play in the NFL with zero continuity. I mean, his team got destroyed by injuries again, but he was just god-awful. I mean, there's no defending his play. There's defending – who his offensive line was at times, who his weapons were at times, but he sucked. He was god-awful. He needs a change of pace. He needs a new scene, and it's not there. And we'll see what happens with the rest of his career.
Yep. Chris, it is now your turn. Let's deliver.
Well, you know, let's just keep, you know, Jake, it's Jake's turn. Let's just keep piling on, right? Let's just keep the train.
Hold me.
And when we were
Jake
talking
means
about,
like I'm.
No, don't worry, Jamie. Your time's coming up here. There's going to be a run here in a little bit that's going to make you want to mute that microphone for a little bit. But Jake was asked, you know, like, hey, Ben Roethlisberger, where's he going to finish in terms of fantasy value? And this is a shorter clip. I put a little production value to it, but Jake said that Big Ben was going to finish above a couple of people in the fantasy standing. So just take a listen.
I got Ben at 8. I think Ben could be right there with Patrick Mahomes leading the NFL in passing next year.
Okay. All right. There'll be a no on that one there, Jake.
Passing attempts. not passing your yards or anything else. That would be a no. Yes, that would be a no.
That would be a no.
One more quarterback one here for you. This one's a lengthy one, and this one is a Jamie take. So Jamie's very long-winded. That was one of the things when putting these together that's very difficult to, like, get Jamie in a gotcha moment because he just talks on and on and on. So we're going to let this one play interrupted. So everybody get, you know, settle down and have a drink because this is Jamie Eisner on one Josh Allen.
So clearly I like him enough because he's at 6. But I've seen the reactions to Josh Allen be all over the place where some people think he's the QB3. Some people think he's barely inside the top 10. Here's what I'll say about Josh Allen is that when you rush at the volume, and particularly the rushing touchdown volume that he's had last year in particular, it doesn't leave you much room for fantasy growth. Like I have, like you'll see where I have him projected, but if you look at his touchdown totals, just strictly his rushing stats, he's not going to be able to best that. Those numbers are hard to even repeat. So you have to understand how that limits your fantasy upside a bit. I know he's got Stephon Diggs there, and I know he's got some weapons. I like the combination of Diggs and John Brown and Cole Beasley, but I also don't have him throwing 500 passes this year, just the way that offense is structured, the way that they've asked him to do. So his upside is going to be a little bit more limited, even though he got a shiny new toy to play with in Stephon Diggs. So I like him, but I don't think he's got the upside that a lot of people do to think he breaks into the Mahomes, Lamar, Dak, Russell Wilson category, where he's been ranked in a lot alongside some of those guys. I don't see him having that sort of upside because I don't see how he could possibly best a lot of the rushing numbers that he's been able to put up, which is, again, same thing I talked about with Kyler Murray on our show in the on our NRC show earlier this week. You might see some progression as an actual football player, but in terms of fantasy point production, you have to look at what they did on the ground and know that that is such a huge effect on quarterback points. Maybe overpowered, and maybe that's something we'll have to talk about as a fantasy community somewhere down the road of how we kind of level this back out a little bit so players that are more strict passers don't yet, you know, get shoved down the board as much for players that are lesser throwers but run around more, or figure out how we can make that even. There's a lot to be done with the quarterback position in fantasy in general to talk about how we can make it more valuable in general. But anyway, I digress. To say to this point is he's limited in the fact that he's not going to throw the ball more than 500 times. He's already got a high volume of rushing touchdowns and are already projecting him to stay at a fairly high volume. This is kind of where he falls for me. He's the middle of the QB1 tier. And I don't think he's got top 3 quarterback upside like a lot of fantasy analysts do.
That's a good one.
Well, there's a couple things there because I was both absolutely right and absolutely wrong at the same time. I absolutely nailed his rushing upside. I would take you to go online and go look and see what he did this year from a rushing standpoint. And it's right in line with what he did before. 421 yards and 8 touchdowns is what he did on the ground this year. I projected him 495 yards and 8 touchdowns. So I nailed that part. What I absolutely did not nail, and I will fully own this because much like from the negative side, Carson Wentz, I did not foresee this huge of a step forward for Josh Allen, the quarterback, the passer, the football player. I thought we would see incremental growth. We saw absolutely a massive leap forward by him. And part of the leap forward was him throwing the ball more. I believe he finished with a little over 570 passing attempts. Which I was, again, they just at points abandoned the run. And if you watch their divisional round game, they've completely abandoned the run in favor of Josh Allen throwing the ball and running around himself. I'll own that one. I have been so happy to be wrong on that. Watching Josh Allen this year has been a pleasure. He is one of the most fun players in the league to watch right now. He is on that short list of quarterbacks that you go, they're must-see TV when they've got the ball, particularly late in games. I'm more than happy to be wrong there. And I did not see him taking this leap forward as a passer, but I will protect myself by saying I was 100% right on the rushing stuff. and nailed it in my projections within like a few yards. So I will give myself that. But no, I did not predict that he would do what he did. And spoiler alert, that I am, not only am I so happy that he's done that, I'm going to predict him to be in the Super Bowl in a few weeks.
Ooh-wee.
So spoiler alert for our, like, for our TDN Against the Spread show on Friday. I think he is going to lead his team to the Super Bowl this week.
Let's
I liked your analysis Jamie. I liked where you had him at six. I'm big on him progressing from year one to year two and year two to year three on as a football player. I didn't think he was going to throw for that many more yards, that he would be that dynamic and have 400-yard game, 400-yard game, 400-yard game. I think I had him right there around where you had him, but it's I didn't think this year would be that big. And there's probably a Stephon Diggs take coming my way here in a minute that I said he's not a true number one. Ends up being one of the best receivers we've seen in a long time and being a well-rounded guy.
How do we feel about
definitely,
going to the running
definitely
back
just,
position?
Go ahead. Go ahead. Let's okay, go right so, to the – yeah, let's go right to the running back position, although I will say I think a large majority of that take around Josh Allen has to do with Stephon Diggs just absolutely becoming a, like, number one romance. Yeah. They're
way
doing
too low on him.
Yeah,
it,
like,
Paige,
unbelievable.
Way too low.
Paige, can you hold that thought? Can you hold that thought about Stephon Diggs and what
sure
Jamie
can.
Just said about being way too low? Could you just put that to the side for me and
yep,
we'll
sure
revisit
can.
That a little bit later in the show? Okay.
All right, so give me my Mark Ingram take or whatever you're going to play right now.
No, we have a couple. Should you, we'll start with Zeke. All right. Well, how about we start with Ezekiel Elliott? Is that a fair place to start? All right. We'll start there.
Depends on when in the year. I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to finish as an RB1 or anything, because even as good as he's been, he hasn't shown that sort of upside yet. But very, very safe. You're going to get a top five running back guaranteed if you take him.
Enough said. Period. He got paid. He plays every week.
Listen, I'm gonna defend this one for the guys. Okay. When we looked at the running back position coming into this season, if you asked anybody who the safest bet was to end up as a top five running back, right? No matter what, it was Ezekiel Elliott. And it wasn't close. So as much as I want to just like make fun of this take, one, the dude started fumbling the football for the first time ever, okay, and has a fumbling problem that he developed somehow after Dak Prescott was no longer his quarterback. And two, this offense without Dak, okay, was significantly worse than I could have even imagined, right? Like I knew that Dak meant a lot to this offense. I didn't know he meant that. I didn't know he meant everybody on their team being completely irrelevant, because that's what this meant. That meant Zeke, Amari Cooper, this whole offense just fell apart. And to the conversations we had all year long, this offensive line from where it was when Ezekiel Elliott entered the league to where it is now is light years behind where it was. And we are going to have to evaluate Zeke in a different light coming into the season with two things in mind. What does that line look like walking into the year? And how much are we going to focus on the fumbling problem that never got fixed this year? Because those two things are still relevant as we walk into the next season.
It kind of got fixed. Yeah. But, guys, we're talking about Tyron Smith going into the season in August, the best left tackle in football. Not there. Lyle Collins, right tackle, out. Zach Martin, out. Other injuries across the offensive line.
Travis Frederick retiring.
Yeah, exactly. One of the best players and on the offensive line in the NFL. And then, oh, by the way, your quarterback is out. Like, that take was fine. There's so much out of our control there. Now, to Paige's point, he wasn't the same player and he fumbled a bunch, but like, that still was a safe take.
And it's interesting because there's a couple of things. I don't think that's my worst Zeke take, because I think with the information reasonable at the time, and by the way, he was a top five running back in the game Dak Prescott started. So in a different way, He wasn't the Zeke Elliott. He wasn't producing the points the same way he was years prior, but overall, especially with the pass catching, because they were throwing it a gajillion times because they were still a bad football team, even with Dak. But and by the way, the whole top of the first round was a disaster for everybody with Saquon and Christian McCaffrey and then Zeke. And so it turned into a disaster for everybody who didn't take Alvin Kamara or Dalvin Cook or Derrick Henry at the top of their drafts. But I think my worst take was trading for him in our league midseason. I'm thinking I'm going to buy low. I'm going to be, and I didn't pay buy low price because I had a lot of other pieces, but buying low-ish on him, thinking that, okay, he's going to turn things around and we're going to make a run here. That was a far worse take, because I already had seen what that Zeke was doing And then I still went for him. So I think to me, that is the far worse Zeke-related fantasy thing that I did this year than having him as a top five running back in the preseason.
Good you brought
you sold
it up,
me. Man. I did the same damn thing based off your analysis on that one in a different league. He was great for 2 weeks. Actually, it wasn't as bad as we thought, James. Those trades weren't horrendous.
No, but it wasn't the player I thought we were going to get. He salvaged it at times, but he wasn't the Zeke you come to expect.
No.
All right, Chris, what else you got
next
for us
hit
in
me,
the
Chris.
Running back category?
Does the name Matt Breida ring a bell?
I don't want to talk about Matt Breida.
Does that ring a bell for you there, buddy? All right.
Yeah, you know, it's always fun when teams trade draft capital for players they have no intention of ever using.
Let's do this in stages, okay? Because when listening to the episode in which the running backs were done, I'm going to play you Paige's setup for Jamie, and then we're going to stop, and then we're going to isolate a part because I think Paige knew. Paige had a time machine, and she knew how bad this was going to age. So first, here's how Paige set it up for everybody.
Jamie, you have Matt Breida here coming in at number 30. Defend him at 30.
Did you catch that? Let me edit it out. Let's just catch what Paige said there right at the end.
Defend him at 30.
It's like she knew. She knew what was about to come. She knew it was going to be a bad take. So now, okay, we got all that set up. All right, Jamie, hit me with it. Give me the fantasy analysis on Matt Breida.
I'm excited for the possibilities of what he can do in this Miami offense. Jordan Howard's there, yes, and Jordan Howard's going to be the goal line guy. He's going to be the one that's going to vulture a lot of touchdowns, but he's not a pass-catching back, and he hasn't been used in that role pretty much ever. And Matt Breida is one of the fastest players in the NFL. He's going to be in almost every third down. He's going to be that true check-down option for Ryan Fitzpatrick that he didn't have last year. I mean, there were times where Patrick Laird was fantasy relevant as a flex player late in the season. And let's be honest, Matt Breida is a significantly more talented player than Patrick Laird or any of the other pass-catching backs in the Miami backfield last year. So, I have him down. I'll give you one nugget of my projection, which now you can see on the draftnetwork.com as of today, all of my running back and wide receiver projections for TDN premium members. But I think he can get 75 targets in this offense. I think he's going to be, I have him again, one spot higher than the guy we talked about on our last show, James White. I think he can have that sort of a season in Miami this year. So I'm really excited about adding him. And I've gotten him a lot in one of my flex positions early in mock drafts that I've been doing. So I know you heard what you heard, but what had happened was I said Matt Breida, but I really meant Myles Gaskin. Like that's what I was saying there. Like I just pronounced it funny. Like it's maybe the New Yorker. Like I just didn't quite get like the syllables correct. There.
Yeah. Okay.
I can't defend it. Matt Breida was, calling him a non-factor probably doesn't even begin to describe how little he was used this year. I was shocked. I thought when they made that draft day trade on the second day of the draft for Matt Breida, that they were going to use him in that sort of, we're going to have Jordan Howard pound the ball on first and second down. It turns out they went about 4 weeks and said, we'll give it to you literally on the 1 yard line and nowhere else. And then we'll cut you. And Myles Gaskin from pretty much week one was the guy. When he got hurt, they brought in Salvin Ahmed and some other, and they moved some other pieces around, but they made the commitment to Myles Gaskin as the guy, and he had a lot of success this year. I was surprised. I quite frankly, I'm still surprised that they did not use Matt Breida in a more explosive role, given that they traded draft capital for him. We saw what he was able to do in short spurts in San Francisco in the years prior. I thought he could be the guy Myles Gaskin kind of was. Like, I didn't think he'd get as many carries between the tackles, but I thought he could. You know what I thought he would be? I thought he would be J.D. McKissic. That's the kind of role that I thought he would play for Miami, and he just never got on the field for any significant amount of time.
75 catches.
And Miami said
targets.
No.
Not catches.
No. Miami
targets.
Said no, Jamie. That's what they said. Miami
said no.
This one's as Jamie said, there's no way to defend it because it was so far
completely
off.
Wrong.
But Miami
drop him before week one like, wrong.
Yeah, like I don't know what Miami did here though. Like I'm still wondering why you give up draft capital to bring somebody in like that and then don't even give them any opportunity for on your football team. I mean, it just
they didn't
never
even play their
sense.
Best quarterback all year. Like, we're not getting into what Miami
no.
did.
Miami made a lot of poor decisions, of which we'll bring Kyle Krabs on to vent to at some point. Chris, what else you got for us?
Now I know later in the year when I started joining the show that there was this crusade to defend this player and really talk up David Montgomery, but that's not necessarily how the pre-draft process went for Jamie Eisner. So why don't we go back in the Wayback Machine and hear what Jamie said about David Montgomery in the pre-draft process.
My concern with Montgomery is, and why him at 27, he's a high floor guy. In the sense that at the end of the season, he's not going to be ranked, barring an injury, outside the top 35 running back. But I also don't think he's going to be ranked inside the top 15 either. Like, you have a very low ceiling, you have a high floor, you have an okay player. And that's fantasy player.
Chris, well done.
I don't hate that take.
Great with production. By the way,
I don't hate that take. That's not even I'm going to defend my boy on this one. That's not a bad take. Matt Nagy sucked running the ball for however many years, gave up play calling, and Lazor took over, and now you have a top 15 running back. That take was spot on. I'm defending that to the death. That was a spot on take for the player, the fantasy player. Who knew that Nagy was going to say, I'm going to give up play calling?
No one. Actually
going to run the ball.
Nobody had that.
That's not a bad take. I got you back on that one, dude.
And look, and by the way, I'm going to steer right into that curve next year. Right now, like as I'm doing my, as you can see on draftnetwork.com, I'm doing my way too early mock draft. We're through four rounds right now. So I'm kind of like looking at my early rankings for next year before I even do anything. He's down at running back 24 for me. Like I'm not buying into this for next year either. Like I'm not buying this is going to be a long-term
thing. Such a shame, man. I love the player. Like but the player we saw in December.
He won fantasy leagues for you. He was a championship winner with the way he played down the stretch. I did not expect him to get that kind of workload. I also think the low key thing that was not clipped there and is part of that discussion was Tariq Cohen was healthy when those comments were being made. And I think that is a factor. It's partly why he's down there going to be at 24 for me in my like very initial 2021 rankings is that Tariq Cohen played a major role in this offense a couple years ago and 2 years prior to that. When he comes back healthy, he's going to have a significant role where Montgomery was coming off the field a lot. But still, if you took him, you got – I mean, not only did you get – you had to deal with some early season stuff because that first half of the season, you were wondering why you even bothered having him on your roster. And then he basically, if you kept with him, he won you a fantasy championship. So
I think they might did trade not see that work going, so coming. You could be a little low on him.
Well, and that could be better if they end up moving him. That's a big contract to eat.
Chris, you did not know that you would get the entire TDN Fantasy podcast to rally against you. But this take is totally on par with what everybody thought. And honestly, there has been a lot of love thrown towards David Montgomery because we all know who he is as a player, like what he can be. And everybody fell in love with that. And it usually backfires. So this was the only time where you were really like, if you got him, you ended up being really happy because it hasn't been that way. And nobody thought that Bill Lazor was going to take over play calling. That was no Matt Nagy literally has BU on the back of his freaking play calling sheet. Like he was definitely not ever going to give up play calling. Okay. This was the day that I rejoiced like it was a national holiday. Okay. So you got to move on to the next take because otherwise we're going to gang up on you.
No, that's fine. Jamie can take his small wins where he can get them on this show.
Yeah. Where's my Mark Ingram take? That's still Ingram and Breida are my worst.
Breida is your worst. There is a worse one that we're saving until the end. Let's go to wide receivers. Listen, I can't get everything in here. Some stuff met the cutting room floor, okay, guys? We would have been here all day if that was the case.
Play the DK Metcalf clip.
And you know what? We hadn't heard from Jake in a little while. Jake hasn't had a chance to listen to on the show. So let's listen to what Jake had to say about Juju Smith-Schuster.
I can see him having bigger numbers than Amari Cooper. I can see him having bigger numbers than Adam Thielen for sure.
I love that Chris added in the buzzers. That's
good production quality from you, Hype Train. By the way, the green screen behind you today is so much better than your wall and you holding a mic. I am impressed with the setup. But you were back home for a while there without holding the freaking mic in your hand like you're hosting The Price is Right. Wrong for sure. Juju played in the slot all year. By the way, the Ben take, if we want to rewind that, they threw it enough. I was basing it off him coming back from major surgery and being healthy, not looking like a statue with a noodle arm. So
statue noodle arm was not what we expected from Ben.
No. And he was okay early, but like he aged rapidly through the season. And Juju finished strong, but I mean Juju was
He hadn't been the same guy without AB. They got the weapons for Ben to have been right there with Mahomes. I knew they'd throw it that much. I just thought he would perform better than that.
We have our first two-part take here, Paige. So I'm going to let you set this up here. And I'm not going to tell who the player is. I'm going to let the setup speak for itself. Then we'll get Jamie's reaction to what he thinks he remembers about this take, and then we'll play the two-part. So here's Paige setting up the take about this specific wide receiver.
Before on the list, the newest Buffalo Bills addition, Stephon Diggs. So,
okay. So Jamie, early thoughts here on how this is going to go for you here with the two-part.
I smacked like the earpods out of my ears. I don't think this is going to go well for me. I don't remember what I said initially, but I'm assuming that I expected that because of John Brown and Cole Beasley's target share, that there would be, you know, that Stephon Diggs would not quite have an elite level target share, that he would be productive on his per target basis, but like, would he be down in the low 100-ish target range? And then that's why it was going to keep his fantasy value down, which turned out to be completely wrong.
Yeah,
this is definitely a two-part take.
You're kind of right, Jamie. If only you would have just stuck to saying that, it probably wouldn't have made the show. So here's part one of Jamie's take on Stephon Diggs.
I have some concerns about this. And it's not, look, I love the talent, and I like the moves that the Bills made to get him. But this is a team over the last 2 years that has actually thrown fewer attempts per game over the last 2 years average than Minnesota has. There's going to be a limited amount of throws this offense has. So, yes, Josh Allen's going to take his shot. Yes, there are going to be some opportunities. But I think we're looking at another situation where we have a guy that's hanging around the upper 80s or 90 targets, where there's nothing wrong with that, but there's only going to be so much production. And let's be realistic, 89 targets, which is what I haven't projected for from Josh Allen, isn't the same as 89 targets from Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, there's part one. There's part one of Jamie's Stephon Diggs take. All right. All right. Here's part two.
I like his talent, but I actually think this is a bad fit for him fantasy wise, which is why he's down here in wide receiver three range instead of the wide receiver two range he's pretty much lived in for the last three or four seasons. So this to me is one. I have him 8 spots lower than his ADP. He's going as the wide receiver 26 right now. I understand the name value, but I don't think you're going to get that sort of production. If he was still in Minnesota this year, he would be about where his ADP is. But I do think there's going to be a target issue in Buffalo a little bit.
There you go, Jamie. You're Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, no, he was used. They threw it way more than I expected. He was used a lot more than that. There's no way of defending that. I mean, if he was a target monster, he led the league in targets. Like, there's no defending that. My rationale.
I don't
think
you have to, though. I mean, what the information you had, that was as rational as you possibly could be with that take. Who thought Stephon Diggs would take that much? Just think about the player you'd seen for what, 5 years. He turned into a true number one run after the catch, the entire route tree. Like, we've never seen that before. And then we didn't think they were going to throw it 800 times compared to what 450 projected, whatever.
And I think this most surprising thing to me was looking at just, again, the target volume and the catches. Like, you didn't look at Stephon Diggs as a DeAndre Hopkins, like getting those 10 catches for 134 yards and a touchdown. You looked at him getting 3 for 88 and 2. Like, that's the kind of way we looked at him. And I thought, one, John Brown being hurt was a factor, but it's not the biggest factor. They used him as the, you're going to be our guy. We will take targets from elsewhere in the offense and give them directly to you, and we will throw more. Like, there's
– he was a monster.
I was lower on him than most, and that was completely
wrong. I was lower on him than you were, I think.
Yeah, I can't defend it. Like, this is complete – the reasons why I didn't like him were so far from being correct. This
Chris,
didn't
the other – yeah,
but
the
they
other
were very rational.
They were very rational. The other part of this is, too, is that Stephon Diggs matured as a player in a way that I did not anticipate happening, right? Like, I think just the overall human being, like, if you look at the attitude and the diva and the person that was in Minnesota, that person is not the same person we're watching play football and on camera having a total bromance moment with him and Josh Allen. It's two completely different scenarios. And you know what? It's awesome because he's happy. And you can see that. He is happy. He's enjoying himself. He looks like a kid playing football. And that's why you're getting this version of him, because the talent was always there. He's just got a much better quarterback who can sling the football, and he is enjoying and taking it seriously because he's enjoying himself. And they've done a ton of interviews together. And if you haven't listened, they both talk about the first time that they've like met each other, and it was just instantaneously that they were like,
the scene from Step Brothers, did we just become best friends? Like, that is what we're talking about. Like, they are just, it's awesome to watch because y'all, to me, I love watching talent be the best version of itself. And this is the ultimate example of Stephon Diggs is always a super talented dude, but I don't think anybody saw him turning into wide receiver one this year that we're arguing with him and Davante Adams. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
It was I didn't see bubble that. Screen. It was bubble screen post, go route, come back. And everything in that offense was run on time, play action, to the point where you're playing with a guy like Josh Allen that can extend the play. And then you saw this development of the nuance of playing in zone, where everybody was playing them in zone, and Stephon Diggs finding these little holes, and Josh Allen being extended play and get it to him with the chemistry they had. I don't know anybody that thought that was going to develop in year one to the point where it was just unstoppable at times. And there's shit, they're still playing.
Yep. He's going to be my wide receiver two next year, by the way, at least as of right now.
It's Davante Adams, Stephon Diggs, right?
Chris? Two more wide receiver takes out of Jamie. And this first one, you know, I think a player that I think all of us love on this show, little T.Y. love. Little T.Y. love. So, Jamie, let's hear what you had to say about T.Y. Hilton.
Right now, so he's my wide receiver 13. He's going as the wide receiver 24.
Thank you very much.
People have forgotten about T.Y. Hilton because he was hurt last year. People, I wish you could see Jake right now. People have forgotten how good T.Y. Hilton is. I love T.Y. I have him projected for only 14 games, but I still, even at that point, I have him just outside of wide receiver one range. He is going to have a phenomenal season. I don't know what people are expecting. Where else is the ball going to go? T.Y. Hilton's been nothing but productive when he's been on the field. He's got an upgraded quarterback this year from last year. What is there not to like? Someone's got to break this to me. Why he's barely going inside wide receiver two territory.
I love that take. I love that. I still don't know what happened the first 10 games.
His grandma called him out and things changed, right? It was his grandma was watching TV and she was like, I don't even recognize you on television. And then T.Y. was like, yeah, I better get it together. He said he was in a funk, like mentally he wasn't in a good place. I don't know. I don't know what it was, but all of us, I will take the L here because I drafted him in like every league because I was like all the way in on T.Y. and it totally backfired on me. So I'll take the L on this one because I went all the way in. I was like, yep, T.Y. Love it.
I went to Keenan Allen and a bunch of them instead, which was great to the end, but it was literally like Devontae Parker, T.Y., Keenan Allen. When I was like, go running back early, you can get these guys late. T.Y. didn't fall to me, but I was 100%. Hell, I'm in the background doing a freaking cheerleader chant with T.Y. in my arms, the whole damn thing.
Yeah, it didn't work. Look, what I meant to say was like from weeks 12 to 17, that T.Y. Hilton, who was the wide receiver 11 in that stretch, that's what I meant.
Mm-hmm. It was there. I still don't know what happened.
The early season was
brutal.
They
threw it enough. They threw it 56 times in week 1 in Jacksonville's loss.
Too many times. And look, nobody that actually drafted T.Y. Hilton probably got to take any sort of the benefits from week 12 on because they dropped his ass well before he started to become productive. I was one of my favorite sleepers. I still don't know what happened this year with him. The drop season that he had in the first half of the year, we had never seen that from T.Y. on a consistent basis. I flat out wrong.
Last one here. Any guesses, Jamie, on who this one might be, on who this take could be?
Well, if I don't have a DK Metcalf one on the show, you failed at your job.
Well, you're not going to get me today, Jamie. I have not failed at my job. The following 1:39 is Jamie Eisner.
It's about targets again. It's about targets again.
DK Metcalf.
Stupid peak Seahawks, of where I have Metcalf ranked. He's now my wide receiver 35. Right now, and he's going as the wide receiver 21 in drafts. So that kind of gives you an idea of where I have him. I think he's going to put up similar, but maybe slightly less numbers than he did his rookie year. And by the way, that's okay. I think sometimes we always expect players, and I've talked for those of you that the few crossover people that listen to the hockey show that I do, you know, I talk about nonlinear progression with young players in sports. It's not always just, okay, you have a rookie player and then next year he's going to be 15% better and then the third year is going to be 20% better and the fourth. Doesn't always work like that. It is a up and down graph. And to me, given Metcalf's game and the way that the limited amount of times the Seahawks throw the ball, I mean, Russell Wilson's not going to throw the ball more than the mound 510, 520 times in a year. is going to limit what his statistical output is going to be. And, you know, he was a 61% catch rate last year. I don't think he's getting 100 targets again. I think the addition of Greg Olsen, Will Dissly being a little healthier, is going to take away some of those targets. I think he's going to be up around in the 90s, but I don't think he's going to be up at 100 or over that again. So he's not going to be able to produce the type of numbers that he did last year. Still think he'll be good. He'll be a good wide receiver three for you. He'll have some success, but I think there's this, and you're going to see that theme with me when we talk about some other young wide receivers going into their second year of, there's always just their assumption, and sometimes it happens, but there's always the assumption you're going to take a massive leap statistically, where sometimes just being able to replicate what you did as a rookie when you become the guy and the focus in year two is progression enough, even if it doesn't look like that in fantasy football point.
I
was wrong for 8 weeks. I was not wrong for 16 weeks.
Thank you.
That's all I'm going to say. Go watch this back half of the year and tell me that that's wrong. Now, I understand.
Who thought Russ Cook was going to be a thing, Jamie, the first 8 weeks?
Well,
and then how did that work out for him? Brian Schottenheimer was looking for a job.
They threw way more than I thought they would. I mean, Russell Wilson had a career high in pass attempts, which I did not expect. But, and yeah, obviously, if you had DK Metcalf, you were thrilled with what you got in the first half of the year. He was everything I feared he would be, and the same thing I feared that offense would be in the second half of the year. So I will take the L, but I will only take half an L for this one. Because, and I get it, like you look at season long total, and if you're in like a rotisserie NFL scoring, which I've never heard of, but if you're in that, you're probably happy what you got from DK Metcalf. If you actually had him on your roster, I guarantee you those who had him on their roster this year will be less likely to want to draft him at his ADP than those who didn't going into next season.
He also turned into a full, well-rounded guy that we didn't really expect. There was a ton of run after the catch stuff on like 12-yard digs and slants that he took to the house. I don't think anybody expected that. I mean, he ran like three routes his entire rookie year and really progressed as a receiver. I didn't expect that to happen. I damn sure I have a take on that somewhere.
Love the talent, but I'm still going to be lower on him than ADP next year too. Not 30, not wide receiver 35, but that's where he was the second half of the year. He was a borderline top 40 guy for the back half of the season. So
you're going to have to somewhere in the middle, right? You're going to have to come some off of where a lot of, I think, fantasy community people will look at what they saw the first 8 weeks and want that to happen again. And a lot of this is going to ride on who's running this offense now, guys. Like, what is this going to look like? How are they going to do this? What's this process? Because Russell Wilson came out and is like, I want to be a part of the process, and who they decide who's the offensive coordinator. Do we figure out what the hell happened to Russ? Because I'm still waiting.
I don't know, but I'll tell you this much. Adam Gase ain't the answer. And now they're talking to Anthony Lynn, which means they're going to run the crap out of it. Brian Schottenheimer, I don't think, did a bad job. He's limited on what he had to work with. It was up and down. But they wanted all in organizationally to let Russ cook, and it bit him in the ass. And as an offensive coordinator halfway through the year, when it's going downhill in a snowball in a hurry, I don't know how you save it when your running backs finally come back and are healthy, but that's not how you've played all year. I don't think Brian did a bad job. I damn sure don't think he deserved to be fired, but they're going to go back to, we're running it a bunch, we're going to play action off of that, and we're not letting Russ cook. That bit him. That's where Pete Carroll just signed an extension, so did Snyder. They're not going anywhere. That's how Pete wants to play. They're going to go all in on fixing this defense. They're not going to give Russ what we've been begging for, in a better offensive line and more weapons and all that stuff. They're going to go back to running the football and play action off of it, and it'll be interesting to see who that coordinator is, Paige.
It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out and how we evaluate this offense, but I really think we need to ask some honest questions about what we saw from Russell Wilson and try and figure out why that second half was really bad. And it was a lot. It wasn't just play calling. It's a conversation. And, you know, I think I told Jamie, one of the film evaluations I'd like to see done over the off season from our guys is, I really want them to go watch Russell Wilson and be honest about what they saw on tape for the back half, because he is, I love Russ, but he is not immune to criticism, and he needs to have some for the back half play, because the interceptions were not acceptable. The road play, scoring 12 points on the road against that New York Giants team in October, November. I mean, it was a bad stretch, guys. So
that was at home, wasn't it?
Home and away that they were, Jamie looked at their, it was one of the shows where you weren't on because you were sick over the last couple of weeks, where Jamie went through their total points scored in that stretch of time. And it was atrocious, and they didn't play good. It wasn't like, and they weren't playing good teams. It wasn't like, it was like, oh my God, they went through a murderer's row of teams. It was
this offense sucks and Russ sucks right now. And that's just what it was.
There was a moment I got to remember. I think it was later than the Vikings game because that was pretty early. He took a shot to the head.
It was in the Cardinals game.
And he's never been the same. His body language wasn't the same. The excitement, that rah-rah crap that you see from Russ all the time, that wasn't there the entire back half about the time we're talking about the transition happening. I don't know if it's something happened when he took that shot, but he wasn't the same after that, period. We got to go back and find that hit.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure out what happened. But before we dive too much into the Russell Wilson stuff, Chris, do you have anything else for us? Or was that our last take?
That is it. That is exhausted the library there. All 21 clips there for you.
Damn, I feel almost unscathed.
Yeah, it's because
then again, I had Carson Wentz, so I'm about as scorned as I could possibly be.
Yeah, we
can
play
one again for you if you'd like. We can play that one.
So here's what I think we should do, because I know I have other bad takes that we did not discuss. So if those of you that are out there listening right now, remember of any of your own favorite bad takes, if you can send to us, tweet at us at TDN Fantasy, if you remember what episode written about what time in those episodes, some of these bad takes were out there. Like I said, I know we had a discussion about Mark Ingram at some point that I was dead wrong on, and dude got his ass cut 2 days after the season. The Ravens couldn't wait to cut him off the roster. There are a few other ones I know I'm not even thinking of that are out there. If you can remember them or you know what they are, tweet at us, make Chris go find them. And then we'll discuss them on one of our other future shows. Cause I know we've had more than just this.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we definitely did. But Chris, as much as we give you shit on every podcast, you did an excellent job with all the production. That was fun. Especially loved, you know, all the great sounds and everything that was getting pumped in.
Chris, can you give yourself a hype train?
I can't because I had to make a whole nother soundboard for these sounds, so I'm not in that soundboard. I cannot give myself a hype train. I apologize.
That's okay. I'm trying to
give you love, and you can't.
I had to create a whole separate thing for all these clips that you, you guys had.
All these bad takes you guys had, Chris. Well done. Loved this. Was excellent. Was fun to revisit all the stuff that was said and think about. Honestly, just thinking about what happened and where we thought the season was going to go in totality, right? Thinking about Philadelphia and Carson Wentz, not just fantasy-wise, but what we thought that team was going to look like, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that were different this season. I mean, Buffalo's in an AFC championship game, right? I mean, that in and of itself is not something a lot of people were predicting coming in the season. They thought they'd have to prove it a little bit first. So, guys, we've made it to the end. We've got two big games coming up that we're going to talk about on Against the Spread this week, so be sure to check that out. We're going to break down the two massive matchups between that we've got some new blood, some old blood. We got the old guard, the new guard. It's going to be great. Very excited to break those down. So you're going to be want to check those out on social. That will be up on Friday. Guys, tell everybody how they can follow you. Jamie, you first.
Follow me at Jamie Eisner on Twitter and continue following the ever updating each week, way too early mock draft for 2021. We're four rounds deep now. And there's some rookies that have made their way into the draft category. Round five will drop next Tuesday. And then there'll be two more after that as we go through the first week after the Super Bowl. So check that out. And let me know how bad you hate all my picks then, because now I can already tell that there's going to be some – this segment next year might involve players like Saquon Barkley or Ezekiel Elliott or Michael Thomas, who I am lower on than consensus already.
Jake, how can everybody follow you?
Jake B. Arians on Twitter, Arians NFL on Instagram.
All right, guys. So you guys can follow me at @_sports_page with an I on both Twitter and Instagram. You can follow our lovely producer at Shoe Radio, at SCHU Radio. Be sure to tweet at him about what the moments you liked from this week's episode, because listen, he was the one who put this all together. So be sure to give him some love and make sure you give him a follow. Go ahead, Jake. You got one more thing to bring to the table.
Happy trails and congrats to Philip Rivers on an unbelievable career. Announced his retirement today. Couldn't get off this show without just saying unbelievable career, what he did, the longevity, and a phenomenal season in a new place in Indy. I thought he really played well this year, but happy trails to him.
Happy trails, Hall of Fame. We discussed it. I don't want to argue with a bunch of people on social media about it. He's been an unbelievable player in this league for a very long time. And if you haven't seen Twitter is amazing today for a lot of reasons, but the best part of today was all the old clips of his version of Talking Smack, and it's amazing. There are so many good Phillip Rivers clips from over these 16, 17 years, players sharing moments, J.J. Watt sharing a moment where he called out a linebacker for lining up wrong on defense, and J.J.'s like, yep, he was wrong. His own defender was lined up wrong. That's how well he knew that opposing defense. I mean, one of the all-timer as far as smarts and everything and competitiveness, man. One of the all-time competitors. So happy trails to him. And be sure to, as I said, be sure to check out our Against the Spread show. We'll be doing that on Friday. Enjoy. Hope you enjoyed the roast.